Dave, lovely to have you along. How did the idea for this documentary come up first?
It was an idea that we had during lockdown, looking to partner with Red Bull, looking for a high-performance focused sort of media piece. You know, the parallels between, you know, any sporting team and Red Bull as a high-performance sort of brand, and our ambition to be a high-performance team, you know, relentlessly pursuing better. You know, just it made sense. So we floated the idea to Red Bull, and the guys picked it up and ran with it. And yeah, before we knew it, we had cameras in and capturing some of what we do on a day to day.
Relentlessly pursuing improvement is high performance. It's a succinct explanation, but it's damned hard work.
Yeah. It is. But when you're a competitor, when you've got something to compete with, or you know, compete in, it makes sense. It's something that you just, it doesn't matter if you've won this week, you've got another one coming up, right? And you need to make sure that performance is better, because whoever you're playing against next week has watched last week, and they're picking up what you're good at and what you're bad at, and they're looking to try and expose you, and you're doing the same with them, and you're just trying to get better. All the time, the relentless pursuit of better is high performing, and that's what high performing people do. They just keep on trying to get better, no matter how good they've gotten.
You talked at the question and answer session there about parking wins. A win is for the weekend; it's done and dusted, and then Monday morning, it's gone. That's a difficult concept for people not maybe connected with high performance sport, because if you're a fan, the resonance of the win will probably last right through the week.
Yeah, I think it's a hard thing to revel in the process rather than in the outcome. But again, that's what real, you know, really competitive people do. They get into the process really, really quickly. And I mean, it can be a little bit of a loveless sort of space to be in. You get there and you go, oh, I've just done this thing that's amazing, but I'm going to push forward and try and do something even more amazing again. You know, it's tough. But there is times in a season and in a career where you do get to, I grew up in Australia, so Rob McQueen famously said to the Brumbies in their winning season under him, you know, we need to take time to slow down and smell the roses. And he brought a bunch of roses to the training session, the captain's run, right before the final. And they did. They stopped and they smelled the roses then. But when you're in a season, when you're in the cut and thrust of a high-performance setup, week in, week out, there is another challenge. There is another thing to compete on. And you don't want to get too excited about how good you are. You want to stay a little bit humble, but you also don't want to lose touch with your process and with your training. Otherwise, you start feeling unprepared. And it's that cycle, that balance, that constant tension where, you know, high-performing teams live.
What happens to a player who has gone out and performed really well and comes in on Monday and then discovers when the team goes up on the screen that maybe they have been rested or dropped or back on the bench? Or that must be very complicated for players. Or do they get used to it? Or do you still get people going, how did that happen? I hit all the targets.
Yeah, it's important to explain why. It's important to have that conversation going all the way through. Oftentimes when someone's being rested, they know well in advance. You say, you know, you have targets set out for them. In strength and conditioning sports science, that's called periodization. We say, okay, we're going to work for this period on this particular quality, and, you know, at this particular point in time, we're going to try and stick to the plan and change that. Selection is a little bit different. But that same sort of process goes into a coach's mind. How do I balance out my squad to make sure that they're getting adequate exposure and adequate rest? And that's where we all work together. That's that multidisciplinary approach. Hopefully, most of the time, we've let them know in advance. But stuff happens. Sometimes something might slip through the crack, and that's where, again, it's that closeness, that relationship with the player, with the other staff, with that communication loop, that the guys know we're doing what's best for them. We've explained to them why we're doing it, how we're doing it, and they feel comfortable in that and understand that they're preparing at the highest possible level to compete and get better over time.
Three very interesting young men well, they're young to me, all of them, in the documentary. Bundy Aki, well known to everybody. Irish international, British and Irish Lion, Connacht legend. Then you've got Niall Murray, young man who has grown into his role in the team. And then Tom Farrell, a man with a lot of talent who's had a lot of injuries. I've interviewed all of them at various times. Why were they chosen? And, you know, for people who haven't seen the documentary yet, their stories are very interesting. They're very different people.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason they were chosen. They are three very different people. They're at three different stages of their careers in terms of what they're trying to achieve and what they have achieved. I think they make sense when you see the documentary. It makes real sense to show the full breadth of what it means to be a professional rugby player, and more specifically, a professional rugby player in Connacht. And, you know, what goes into that? How much do they have to invest in their careers and in that competition, in their performances week to week? And I think those three men exemplify that in loads of different ways, and they exemplify that relentless spirit, that ability to park a win, park a loss, you know, to smell the roses when it's time, but also to lock in and get the job done when it's time. You know, there's a lot of real positives in those three guys, and I think the way that this documentary has been put together and the work that those men have done in their careers so far and the work that is yet to come tells a really great story.
Yeah, it certainly does. It strikes me, if you did that documentary in another rugby setup, would it be very, very similar, or would there be subtle differences? And is Connacht different?
Of course Connacht's different. Connacht is special. It's not typical. You know, like a lot of high performance teams will look for the shiny thing, or, you know, to add more, or to you know, some of them get this like almost relentless pursuit of more rather than the relentless pursuit of better. And something that's unique to Connacht is the embracing of the environment that we're in, embracing the community that we're a part of, you know, this real ambition and belief in high performance and in rugby as an example, in the performance in rugby as an example of what humans can do, you know, the height of human performance, despite what might be thought of them from a recruitment standpoint with other clubs. Some of these guys have put on amazing performances where others have turned their back because it's not as shiny as the other guy who came from, you know, such and such a club or such and such a school. One thing that Connacht doesn't do is care about any of that. They see what is going to be. I think if you were to do this documentary, to the first part of your question, in another club, you'd see something different. You'd see something that was maybe a little more polished, you know, something that was maybe a little less emotional. You know, like, these guys put their heart and soul into their careers. They expect so much of themselves and so much of everybody around them, while, you know, not trying to demand it either. They're such genuine, hardworking young men who want to be the best. There's very few places in the world who have that mix as consistently and as, you know, steadfastly as Connacht Rugby.
I saw that when I was in South Africa on the tour. It's very interesting. I think those situations when teams are away for a long period of time, 12 days, is very, very different. How do you think that affects the fan base in terms of what maybe they expect from the team, but also what they expect from themselves as fans when they're going to the sports ground? It's, you know, it's our place, if you like. That's the way it's seen. And these guys represent us. Is there an awareness of that?
Absolutely. It's one of our core values, is community. Whatever is felt in the community, you know, whatever is talked about, whatever is believed, we believe. You know, we're part of it. We're not external to that. You know, the team has and always will be a part of it. As you know, I'm no longer at Connacht, you know, but I still feel every bit of that, you know, watching matches. When you were in South Africa, I was watching those matches and cringing every time a ball was dropped, or wincing every time someone made a mistake. But at the same time, seeing some of those glimpses of these young guys moving forward, you know, that endeavour, their relentless pursuit of better, still shining there. And there was immense pride in that. And I hope, at least, and I believe from my experience as part of that community and now as part of the fan base, rather than being having a seat at the table anymore, I would hope that's what everybody's experience is of showing up at the sports ground, watching this team and seeing the endeavour and the drive and the relentlessness of each and every one of those men.
Dave, it's been brilliant to talk to you. The documentary is fascinating. It's on RTE on next Thursday evening, 3rd of November. It's another opportunity for people to gain an understanding of how rugby teams work. Appreciate your time.
No worries.